Aren't you glad that God is a God of individuals, value of even one? What a wonderful blessing. My wife and I have reflected some this week, even on Leslie's salvation. And it's kind of interesting. Lisa actually broke down. She texted me in the middle of a class and said, "It's an emergency. I need to talk to you." And she said, "Our truck has broke down and I'm in a safe place." And I said, "Well, just wait there. I'll get to you. I have to finish this class real quick." And so finished the class and skipped out of chapel and went. And in that process, Lisa was able to share the gospel with Leslie, and she came to know Christ as her Savior. She said to her, "You know," she said, "every time Pastor preaches and he asks if we know for sure," she said, I just didn't know for sure," she said. And by the way, what was wrong with the truck? Nothing. Check engine light's going off. It's run perfectly smooth. Like, could God make a vehicle break down so that you'd have time? Absolutely. The value of one. Now, the truck may really be broke, but right now we're doing fine. It's not a problem. Right now we're enjoying the fact that it's running. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, if you would, please. Last week we began this section, and just read for you a few verses and make a couple of quick comments before we jump back in to where we were last week. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." We talked last week about the number of gifts that God has given to the church in a variety of ways and for them to be able to serve within the body. But none of them are necessarily better than the others. God placed them there and allowed them to work together, and that's Paul's point. Paul's using the analogy of the actual human body and how each one of those members have to function together in order for it to function as a whole body. And it's really wonderful for you to study the body and a variety of things that it does and all that. And some of you have a medical background, you know a little bit more about that. But it really is amazing how so many things are connected together and how God allows those things to take place. Last week, we went through the introduction and just point one, and this was it. Number one, we are committed to unity in diversity. In other words, sometimes we think unity is we're the same, we believe the same, we act the same, we do all the same. Okay, we do have a core belief that's important. And the body, a physical body, must have the belief that we're all going in this location. Because if it doesn't, you got problems, okay? If your body's trying to do multiple things. And the older you get, the more dangerous that is for your body to try to do those things. I was working in my yard with some of my grandbabies the other day, and I just landed, and you're like, "What happened?" "I don't know. I still don't know. I just know I had a cut here, and I'm bleeding, and I'm on the ground." And it's like, okay, that didn't function like it was supposed to, because you're not supposed to land on the ground like that. You're supposed to actually be on your feet, which is what I think is very helpful as well in the process. So we are one body, yet we are many members working together. Now, we have a belief system that is we've united around. We believe the truth of the Word of God. So we're not saying that someone can believe, oh, you can get saved by works, or you can be baptized by sprinkling, or you can be... No, there's truth in which we've rallied around. But within that, God has given different people different abilities and different functions within the church. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Number two, then, as we give you new material this morning. Number two, we all came into the body the same way. In other words, no one got into the body any other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only way to get in. Matter of fact, Paul relates it here. We got into the body by the Spirit of God. Now, he says here in verse 13, look at that. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, what baptism is Paul referring to there? Is he referring to water baptism? No, he's not. He's referring to the Spirit baptism. That is, when the Holy Spirit of God came to dwell within us, the moment we were saved. Okay, now, just as a little side note, do we believe that there is a second anointing, if you will, down the road? No. You got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get at the moment of salvation. He didn't necessarily all the time get all of us, right? That surrendering to Him more and more as we're revealed truth and we give Him more and more of that aspect. Well, I'd love for Him to have 100% of me, but this old flesh loves to jump in the way of that all the time. And you say, well, how do you know that that's Spirit baptism? Well, a number of verses in other texts of Scripture, Mark chapter 1 and verse 8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. John 1 and verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Acts 1 and verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 tells us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you say to me, Pastor, I got saved on January 1st of 1990, and I got the Holy Spirit on da-da-da-da, no, you didn't. That all happened at one moment. Acts chapter 11 and verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, the fact that the Holy Ghost dwells within us is a wonderful truth sometimes and not a wonderful truth sometimes. Right? What do you mean by that? Well, sometimes you would like to say, though you wouldn't really say this, you'd like to say that the Holy Spirit wasn't there so He would stop and just leave you alone. But the fact is, we need Him there. We need Him to guide us into truth. We need Him to convict us. Hey, that's wrong. Don't do that. That's a wrong way to respond. That's a wrong attitude. That's a wrong whatever. We need the Holy Spirit of God to do this. Now, so here's the point of the text of Scripture, is everybody that's within the body of Christ got here one way. There is no other way to get here. You're like, well, I was a rich person. You still get here one way. Well, I was this person. You still get here one way. Well, I was really popular. You still get here one way. Well, I was really poor. You still get here one way. Well, I was a slave. You get here one way. Well, I was a slave owner. You get here one way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your status, and we're going to talk about that a little bit as well, which leads us to number three. We all came from different places, i.e. backgrounds, nationalities, and so on, yet we are one in the Spirit. Now, I want you to really understand this here this morning, because this is important for us, not only where we are, but in general, the world is, okay? Nationalities do not take prominence. Christ takes prominence. Social status doesn't take prominence. Christ takes prominence. Your birth origin doesn't take prominence. Christ takes prominence. I could go on and on. You just fill in the blank, whatever it is. Now, please understand, I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to say whatever that may be. There's nothing wrong with those things. But if those things become more important than who you are in Christ, you're out of balance. Can I say that? No matter what it is. Let's make it home for me. If it's more important that I'm the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church than I'm a member of this body in Christ, then I'm in trouble. If it's more important to you that you are ex-worker or that you are husband or that you are wife or that you are whatever, the truth is Christ is supposed to have the preeminence in everything that we do. It's not that these things are not important, but they're not as important. Can I tell you? It's not as important that I'm an American as it is that I'm a Christian. Now, am I thankful to be an American? Absolutely. Grateful for it. But I hate to tell you this. We ain't the only ones going to be in heaven. I have that on really good authority. Right? I mean, the Word of God's pretty clear on that, isn't it? Every tribe and kingdom and nation and tongue, and that we're all going to be there together. And I love the fact that, man, we constantly see God working in places we've never heard of. We didn't have time this morning. We had an incredible report from Derek that he just posted. I just didn't have time to show it to you this morning. He is in Poland, but he had been in the Ukraine, has been in Kiev, was able to hold a service with his believers in Kiev. Just amazing what God is doing in and through the work there. Number four, we are committed to understanding each other's role and not judging others. That's what Paul says in verses 14 through 17. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body, Paul says. Is that what he's allowed to say? Look at verse 19. We didn't read this morning. For if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. In other words, we should be committed to understanding each other's role. What has God done with them in the body? And not judging them for that. And it's so easy for us to look at other people and say, well, this is my gifting, and therefore I think everybody else ought to be doing that. Well, if God gave you the gift of, you fill in the blank, He gave you to do that so that you could do it. He didn't want everybody else doing that right then. But so many times we get to the mode of, this is the most important gift, obviously. No. God gave you every gift. And that, what Paul is saying here, could the feet say, hello, pal, I'm the most important, because you don't get anywhere without the feet. And he's saying, no, you can't say that. Because the feet actually can't function by themselves. Right? Now, well, I'm not going to get into a medical lesson here, but I can just tell you, your feet walking around by themselves doesn't work, right? I mean, even, matter of fact, just have one piece of a toe go bad and see what happens, right? Or how much do you need the calf muscle to help your feet move, and the ankle bones and the knee? And I mean, we could go on and on and on, let alone the brain that says, pick up that foot. There's all kinds of things there. One author says this way, this summarizes Paul's entire argument about the nature of church community. The diversity within the church does not mean that there should be diversity in purpose or mindset. Emmanuel has a purpose and a mindset that's clearly biblical, but we have diversity in how that is fulfilled. Another one goes on and says, Paul exposes the absurdity of the Corinthian believer's mindset. A body composed of a single part is not a body and could not function as a body. It is the same thing for believers, with each playing his or her own role. They must not fool themselves into thinking that one particular group or gifting represents the entire body of Christ. Paul wants the Corinthians to focus on unity instead of their diverse gifts. They must appreciate what makes them the same. And what is that? Christ and His purpose. That's what the priority is, rather than what makes them different. So Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, and by the way, what do we know about Corinth's spiritual condition? They were incredibly carnal, weren't they? And what they were doing then is making those comparisons. I think you can get the picture. Now, we could look around this room, and I was going to do this morning, but we don't have time. But we could look around this room, and I could pull people up to this room, the front of this room, and say, what do you think their gifting is? And most of you know exactly what it is. You didn't have to give a test. You didn't have to work through a big formula. You know how we know what their gifting is? Watching them. What they do and what they love. Now, Again, I'm not saying that we can't serve outside our gifting, because there's times when God asks us to do that. For instance, I think some people are natural givers. Does that mean the rest of us don't have to give? Well, no, God wants us to give. I just think he's gifted some people with that gift. And I mean, boom, it just happens, you know. Mike Skinner was a giver. Mike's not here anymore, but Mike was a giver. I could tell you stories over and over again about Mike and his giving. He said to me regularly, "Pastor, if you ever hear something need, you just let me know. And I would love to do it." And I could go on and on and on with stories. I remember a couple of years ago, he walked into my office on a Thursday morning, I think it was, and laid a $100 bill on my desk and said, "The boys are winning this contest tonight for pennies. And there's more $100 bills where this came from if you need it." it was just a wonderful truth. And we could go on and on, okay? I could point out many of you in this room and say, I know exactly what your gifting is. And God has very obviously complimented our church with that. So be committed to understanding someone else's role and not judging them, okay? Number five, we're committed to understanding that it is God who chooses our gift and place in the church. So if you say, "I just don't like..." What you're really saying is, "I don't like what God has chosen. I wished he had gifted me. I wish that I had this person's. Boy, I just like that person better and what they get to do and not me." What we're saying is, "God, you did a really poor job of choosing my gift." And you're like, "Wait a minute, Pastor, I would never be that bold." Well, you might not actually use that word, those words, but that's exactly what you're doing. Because it is God that chooses you. And by the way, if you're saying, "That person has the gift right there, glad they got the lower level gift here," you too are saying God did a bad job with the gifting that he had. And we're going to talk about something that's really powerful when we get to the end of this and why this makes really important. Again, someone said this, "Different parts are needed if a body is to exist." Verse 19 says that. "So too, no believer should think of himself or his gift as inferior, and so to desire another member's gift. The gifts were not haphazardly distributed, but carefully arranged according to the perfect will of God." By the way, by implication, if you're not doing your gift, what does that mean? Hear me closely. You're out of the will of God. That's what that means. If God gave you a gift to serve and you're not doing it or not willing to do it, you're out of the will of God. Again, continue. "Thus, the diversity among the parts of the body is no cause for concern about membership or status in the body." In other words, I got this gift, therefore I can be in the body and you don't, so therefore, no. "For in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body with thought for the proper place and role of each, so that there are many parts but one body." That's what God intended for us. As Emmanuel Baptist Church, by the way, and the larger body of Christ. Number six. We are committed to each other and our individual importance, though there is a structure of authority. And Paul makes that point. Look at verses 22 and 20 through 24. "Nay, much more, these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." Now jump down to verse 27. "Now, you have the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church first, apostles, secondarily prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing and so forth. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" Paul says, in other words, God has set some people in the church, not that they're more important than someone else, but in authority structure, he has given that. Now, that's important as we understand, and we talked about this all the way back in Ephesians, when we looked at the idea of submitting one to another, but then wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. It doesn't mean that the wife is subservient in abilities or in talents or in all that. It just means that God has placed an authority structure here that we're to abide by. Number 7. We are committed to care, suffer, honor, and rejoice together. Again, verse 25 of this text. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The word schism just means a division. That there shouldn't be a division within the body. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Paul says, look, we're committed to each other. And because we are a body, then we suffer when one part of the body suffers. And again, the analogy we know very well, don't we? I mean, how often has one even sometimes insignificant part of the body been out of whack in some way and, man, everything hurts, you know? That's what Paul is saying. So when a member hurts, Brother Billy this week in losing his dad, then we hurt. Why? Because he's a part of our body. And when a member rejoices, we're doing that today too, aren't we? With the graduates and what God has done in their lives, then we all rejoice. Here's the thing. Paul said to the church at Corinth, hey, listen, if you guys are so petty as to not be able to rejoice when someone else is rejoicing, or to not be able to grieve when someone else is grieving, or to not be able to suffer when someone else is suffering, Paul says, you're wrong. And there's this schism in the body. Verse 26, I love what one author says, implies that the individual members of the church are interdependent. Interdependent. Rather than self-sufficient. Paul expresses that when the community of believers functions properly, it shares pain and joy as a person would in his or her own body. Okay, I realize I'm preaching to the choir here, but listen to me. Can I tell you one of the problems when someone says, I don't need church? There's a lot of problems, by the way. But one of them is they're outside of the body. They're a foot saying, I don't need the rest of you. That's what they're saying. Now, they may not actually be a foot. Maybe they're an ear or a nose or whatever. But, you know, that's the point that Paul is making. We need each other. Now, does that mean we do that perfectly all the time? Boy, that's what we'd love to do, isn't it? But no, we don't always do that. Sometimes we, in our own human bodies, let a body part suffer more than it should. And we're like, what are we doing? By the way, eventually, that becomes incredibly obvious to us. Because that body part is going to get so bad, you will pay attention to it. Just let that body part keep going and keep going and keep going. For instance, get a bad tooth. Just do nothing about it. See what happens. Well, I take Tylenol every day for multiple times a day. Okay, go ahead. But eventually, you're going to be in trouble. Like, real trouble. Let alone there's a tooth going to give you problems, but all that Tylenol is eventually going to catch up with you too, right? Like, it's just going to happen that way. So that's what Paul is trying to get. And again, the word picture he's creating is us as a body. Now, where does the analogy break down? Well, if I wake up in the morning and my back is hurting, I know that instantly, generally. We don't always fully know when someone walks through that back door that they're hurting. Now, I want to encourage you. This is why spending time together is important. Why the fellowship time that we've created is important. It's not just so we can eat. So we can interact with each other. So we can put our arm around somebody and say, hey, are you okay? Because I've noticed, you know, whatever. And in those moments, maybe someone shares with you something that they They weren't willing to tell otherwise, but because you showed that care, all of a sudden their heart opens, and now the body is caring for each other. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You're like, oof, I'm not real comfortable doing that. But we're supposed to. That's what the body is supposed to do. Can I tell you something? I'm not real comfortable going to the doctor either. Most men aren't. If you ladies want to know why men are so stubborn about the doctor, because we get tired of walking in there and he's going, yeah, you got a common cold. There's nothing I can do with you. $300, please. That's why we don't go, right? So when we're having a heart attack, it's probably just, you know, whatever. It's part of it. But men, can I tell you something? We really need to be better at that. You're like, better at paying the $300? Maybe at times, right? Like, sometimes we really do have a problem and it needs to be taken care of as we work through that. But together, collectively, we certainly need to do that. Number eight. Now, this is everything else we've said. I want you to boil it down to this right here. Look at verse 24. It says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Okay, remember, he's talking about those parts that we think don't necessarily have a whole lot of honor. I want you to jump all the way down to verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. It is in that context that Paul goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, don't separate this from the overall context of what Paul is saying. Because in the text, when he opens up chapter 13 and verse 1 and begins to go through it, if we were to put it in modern day language, we could say this: you can have the gift of teaching, and if you don't love people, you're nothing. And you can have the gift of serving and hospitality, and if you don't love people, you're nothing. And you can have the gift of wisdom, and if you don't love people, you're not nothing. And if you have the gift of teaching, and you don't love people, you're nothing. Matter of fact, you just choose whatever gift you want to. If you don't love people, you're nothing. Those are not my words. Those are God's words. Matter of fact, you remember the first part of that text? He goes as far to say, and though I give my body to be burned, I can face martyrdom. And if I don't love people, I'm nothing. The more excellent way is love. Now, again, I know it's getting late, but I want you to hear me, okay? Sometimes we allow people who get out of balance to steal stuff from us. What do I mean by that? Well, those of us that are a little bit older, we can remember in the 80s and 90s, we by and large stopped preaching on the Holy Ghost. Why was that? Why were people scared to preach on the Holy Ghost in those time periods? Charismatic, Pentecostalism, we were scared to death somebody was going to label us. But can I ask you a question? Is the Holy Ghost in the Bible? Matter of fact, is the word Holy Ghost in the Bible? It is, as well as Holy Spirit. And we allowed them to rob us of that. Can I tell you something? We've allowed the word love to be robbed from us because the new evangelicals have said, don't stand for anything, just love people. Are they wrong? They are. But you know what we did many times? Well, bless God, we're going to stand for something whether we love people or not. I've actually heard people say that to me. They've actually said it to me, and I'm like, well, time out. The people over here don't have a monopoly on love. We're actually supposed to love people. We're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to love the people out there in the world. That's what we're supposed to do. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, makes it abundantly clear. If you're not loving people, I don't care what your gift is. You're nothing. Plain and simple. That's not hyperbole. That's not something that I have to make up. It's clearly in the text. And then he goes on to tell us, and this is not a message about this, but he goes on to tell us what love is, doesn't he? Love is patient. It's kind. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. It's in the context of gifts. Well, God's given me the ability to teach. I wished everybody else had that ability. I'm obviously so much more important than the people working in the nursery. Wrong attitude. Missed it totally. So what is the unifying member in our body? It's Christ. That's it. He is the head. He is supposed to have the preeminence. And we all got here through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Period. There is no other option for us to get here. This all takes place because of Christ. So the question for us is, are we functioning as a body or are we dysfunctional? Again, I'm incredibly grateful that in many cases we function as a good body. I'm grateful for that. But can I just encourage you? I want to be careful, and I try not to jump on you a whole lot because you guys really do a great job. But can I say in the last couple of months there's been multiple times that we've sent out emails about people that need rides from locations and not one person has responded to us. And yet we will sit here and beg God to bring us people, but we're not willing to pick up the people that want to come. Can I just encourage you, even in those ways, to say, hey, is it inconvenient? Sure, absolutely. It's inconvenient. I got that, okay? Out of our way? Sure, it's out of our way. But we need to be willing to do that because that's part of what we do as the body. It's part of our mission. It's what we're supposed to try to accomplish. And that's just one area. And again, you guys do such an incredible job in so many other ways. But I just wanted to remind you, hey, even in those where sometimes it's easy for us to say, somebody else will do it. My mom and dad, and with this I'll close. Mom and dad for years have been members of a fairly large church. I don't remember what they run, but I think they run 600, 700, 800. And there's been multiple times when their pastor has said from the pulpit, half joking but half serious, hey, my wife's out of town today. Sure would love to go eat with someone. And my mom said to me one time, and mama's probably watching, okay, but she said to me one time, well, son, we didn't invite him because we knew he had tons of invitations. And I said to her, why don't you go ask him how many invitations he got? So she did. I'm grateful my mom is teachable. He got none. He ate by himself. And mama said, well, what do you mean you ate by yourself? Well, nobody invited me to eat with them. And here's what we do. Sometimes we assume somebody else is going to do it. But wouldn't it be great if we just all did it and then we could tell people, no, we don't need you because we got an over an abundance? By the way, I don't need you to invite me out to eat today. That was just an illustration, okay? but I'm so grateful that we really do function well as a body. But let's make sure that we're doing so and that we love people in the process. Be committed. That's what God is asking us to do. Come, grow, serve. That commitment is we're working together in a body. And what a blessing that is. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you that you demonstrated to us this perfect balance. And we love you in your name, we pray.